in it beautifully, and we are blessed because of it. We hope to hear more from you all. You got a good start, so we look forward to that. I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Want to share a message that I shared recently at the Foundations Baptist Fellowship International Central Regional Meeting in Oklahoma City a few weeks ago. And I plan to start a study of the Gospel of John next Sunday. I think that time's finally coming. We may actually start next Sunday in that wonderful, wonderful Gospel of John, and I'm looking forward to that. By the way, we meet tonight at 6 for evening service, and Lord willing, we'll be talking about the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Mark chapter 4, and I'll begin reading in verse 35. Mark 4, 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side, that is, the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, or in the boat. The King James says ship. We know it's not a huge ship. It's a good-sized boat. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm. A great storm of wind, and wind could come down through those valleys and hills on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee and really cause turmoil and quite a turbulence, and it happened often, and so they were familiar with these storms, and here comes the storms. There arose a great storm, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, or it was swamped. They're taking in water. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, that is the stern of the ship, asleep on a pillow, or probably a cushion that was in the boat. And they woke him, and they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and they said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Master, carest not? Master, do you not care about us? Well, does he or doesn't he? Let's pray. Lord, we pray your blessing upon our time in the Word this morning. May we be drawn closer to you. May we love you with all our hearts and have joy and gladness. And we have the privilege of serving the God of heaven, that we are free from sin and condemnation in Jesus Christ. That our sins, every one of them, is under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that if we commit sin and confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of all sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are so good, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness. We pray your blessing on our time together now. May you be glorified, and help me as I share and preach. Help us all as we listen to glean what you want us to glean and gain and profit as you want us to. And Lord, convict us where we need us. Rebuke us where we need it, that we might walk with you and make sure things are right with you. We ask this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Master, carest thou not? Do you not care? Lord, don't you care? If we go down, we are drowning. The boat is full, and you're asleep, and you don't care. That's what they're saying. Well, I am told, and I've been taught, and I have read, that God cares for me. In fact, I just read this in this passage, and then I think, wait a minute, for me? Does God really care about me? And if he does really care, then why in the world do I go through all the trials that I go through and the troubles that come my way? If he really cares, then why does God seem so distant at times? Has that ever happened to you? Does to me. It does to me. Even when I pray and I cry out to him, why is heaven like a brick ceiling? I know, I read that he hears and answers prayer, but you know what? He doesn't hear my prayer. That's how I feel sometimes. You ever feel that way? Sometimes we think, well, if he cares, why do I have health issues? Why does my wife have to endure the suffering that she goes through? Namely, being married to Terry Post. And plug your name in there. There's a lot of suffering involved in that. You want me to tell you about some of the suffering No, I won't do that. Why do I have work problems, you may say? Family problems that are so complicated. I might say, why did God call me to pastor this church? What in the world was God thinking when he put it in my heart to be a pastor? You don't know how many times I think, God must have made a mistake. He must have made a mistake. Why didn't I listen to my wife who told me that God sure didn't call her into the ministry? She said that years and years ago. And here we are. God is good. But if God cares about me, then why do I have so many fears and anxiety? Why does it come so hard for me to practice what I preach and rest in him and enjoy his peace? And it comes hard for me, even though I preach it to you. You don't know what it's like to be a preacher and practice what you preach. But we all battle that, don't we? Why can't I rest in him and really, 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 really enjoy his peace? A peace that passes all understanding. What peace? I don't have that peace that passes all understanding. You know, I just don't know if God really cares about me all that much. I mean, look at me. I'm not anybody special. God's got a universe to run. So I doubt that he has time for me. And I struggle sometimes with knowing how to study the scriptures. And my praying is kind of wimpy at times. And I don't very often pray like people in the Bible pray. Earnestly, fervently, on their knees, crying out, knowing God hears. I probably get it all wrong. And I don't even want to think about my sin and all the baggage that comes with it. When you really look at my life, then why in the world would God care even an ounce about me? How could he care for me? How, we wonder. Well, the disciples felt that way. The disciples questioned whether or not the Lord Jesus really cared when they went out for a boat ride with him. The wind was strong. I don't know how fast the wind was blowing. 30, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour. And that lake isn't very big. It wouldn't have taken much. The waves were high. The boat was taking in water to where they're about to go down to the bottom of the lake. Master, don't you care? We're going down. Today we might say, Master, Lord, don't you care that I've got all these problems? Sometimes we just carry them all by our little old lone selves because we realize God doesn't really care about my problem. He's not going to do anything about it. And we think that way. Don't you care I've got these problems, that I'm battling this anxiety and these fears? Don't you care? Does he care? And what do we hear? We hear the answer. Why are you so fearful? And that's the answer he gives to you. He says, Terry, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? It's another way of saying, how in the world can you think I don't care? How can you think that? I'm here to remind you that he cares for you just as much as he cared for these desperate, worried, faithless, sinful men in the boat. He not only had the power to bring calm and peace, he was with them in the boat. He was with them in the boat. Is he not with you? Does he not live within you? He's with you every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year of every century. Decade, then century. If you'll but take it. If you'll but take it, he'll give you a peace that is way beyond understanding. He is with you in your boat every day, every moment, And you know what? When Jesus is in the boat, all is well. All is well. It is well with my soul always, for he cares. All things work together for good to them that love God, them who are called according to his purpose. It is well with my soul always, for he cares. This is a truth that blesses me about as much as any other truth in all the Bible. Yes, I know he loves me, and he died for me, and he rose for my justification. But above it all are the words written, he cares. He cares. I believe these words, two words, he cares, are written on every page of my Bible. Every one of them. Master careth not that we perish. And he arose and he rebuked the winds and said to the sea, peace be still. You talk about care. Wow. What a response. We just sang, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind and true. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Well, I have a three-point outline. It's not complicated. Number one, he cares. Number two, he really cares. Number three, he really, really cares. Number four, he really, really, really cares. And number five, he really, 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 really cares. If you want to go on, you can, because it's true. It's a good outline, right? That's it. I'm not going to follow it after that, but just wanted to give you that. Look at Psalm 40. Psalm chapter 40, or the 40th Psalm, verse 17. Psalm 40, 17. Got it? Verse 17, Psalm 40. But I am poor and needy. You can write that on your forehead. Every one of us could walk around with that label. I am poor and needy. Spiritually, I am. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God. That verse says Jesus cares. God cares. He thinks on me. He is mindful of me. I am poor and needy. We sing, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of love and full of pity, love and power. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. I am poor and needy. Jesus stands ready to save you. When Peter was being stoned to death in Acts 7, verse 55, Jesus saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Sometimes Jesus stands for his saints. But imagine that. The Lord thinketh upon me. Psalm 40, 17. God, the God of heaven and the earth, our creator, our sovereign, thinks about me. That's just mind-boggling. He thinks about me. Doesn't he have other things to do than that? But the Bible says he does. The Hebrew also has the idea of account. He thinks, he accounts me into his plan. He counts me. He reckons me. He considers me. Listen to Hebrews 4:15. You can turn there, but I'm going to quote it. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we, in other words, we have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Okay, the way it reads is in the negative. It says, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched. Two negatives, right? Two negatives equal a positive. We all learned that somewhere back in school in a math class. Two negatives are a positive. Here, two negatives are a positive. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched is a way of saying we do have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, you know what? Very few people are really touched. The word here is sympatheo. sumphatheo, S-U-M-P-A-T-H-E-O. And we get our word sympathize from this Greek word. It means to sympathize with. The Lord sympathizes with us. It means to have fellow feeling with. He feels with our hurts, our sorrows, our discouragement, our depression, even our guilt. He is touched with that. He waits for us to come to him. He pleads with us to come with our sorrows, our sin, our guilt, our anxieties, our depression, because he cares, he cares, he cares. Just think about this. You care. You care, don't you? You care about others. Every one of you cares about somebody or many buddies, right? You care. You even care about strangers that are hurting and suffering. Where did you get that quality? That's right. You get that from God. And if you care, then would not he care all the more than you? Because you're a sinner and he's not. He's not. Where do you get that quality of caring? From God, right? From God. And if you, and then if you care, would he not care all the more? If you care about your children and grandchildren, well, you do. You care about your children. You care about your grandchildren even more than your children. We shouldn't, but we do. And you do anything for them. You would even die for them. No questions asked. Jesus did for you. That's how much he cared. What shall we say to these things? Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who then can be against us? If God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He will. He will, because he cares. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. He that knocks shall be opened. If a man ask, what man is there of you? This is Matthew 7:7-11. What man is there of you who, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If your boy comes up to you and says, Dad, I'm hungry. Buy me a sandwich. And you say, okay. And then you serve him a rock. Try that on for size. See how your teeth handle that. No, you're going to give him a sandwich. You're going to make him a peanut butter and jelly or take him to Spangles, right? Get him a double cheeseburger with fries. Right? I shouldn't have said that. If he asks a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Remember Elijah? You can turn to 1 Kings 17. I love the story of Elijah and Elisha, the prophets of God in 1 Kings and 2 Kings. But Elijah in 1 Kings 17:1, God sent ravens to feed him. He sent some birds. He said, Elijah needs some food. I'll take care of him. You talk about Jesus caring. He cares. 1 Kings 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank in the brook. And it came to pass after a while the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So it's just amazing. God commanded a bird, go feed Elijah. And he did. And he brought him toast and bacon every morning. Well, maybe it was toast and sausage. No, maybe it was beef and bread. Every morning, 6 a.m, 6 p.m, like clockwork, that bird was right on time every day. God can do that. God can command a bird to take care of you if he wants to. And maybe he has some time. And then again God sends him to the widow of Zarephath in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. And I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he commands a bird to sustain him. Now he commands a poor widow woman, who her and her son are about ready to die. They have nothing. And God commands her to take care of Elijah, and then he takes care of her. And we won't read all the passage, but you can read on to verse 8 to verse 16, and it's beautiful, beautiful. God cares. God cares, God cares, God cares for you. Then there was a great contest on Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18, and Jezebel threatens Elijah's life, and he runs away because he couldn't handle it anymore. And Elijah, we find him, he just wanted to die. He wanted a way out. He couldn't take it. It says in 1 Kings 19:4, but he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I'm not any better than my fathers. And he lay and he slept under a juniper tree, and an angel touched him and said, Arise and eat. And he did that. In verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, said, Arise and eat. The journey's too great. And he did it, and God took care of his prophet. He said, You're hungry, Elijah. I'm going to feed you. He cares about you when you're hungry. He cares about you when you don't have money in the bank. He cares about you when you're facing all kinds of difficulty, physical difficulty, medical difficulties, family difficulties, work difficulties, on and on. He cares, he cares, he cares. Then we find Elijah in a cave in 1 Kings 19:12, and he goes to that cave to hide, and God comes and speaks to him in a still small voice. In verse 12, God is leading him beside the still waters, a still small voice, a quiet voice. He satisfies thy mouth with good things, Psalm 103:5. And he fed the multitude in Matthew 15:30. There was a great multitude, and Jesus healed them, and he fed them. He fed them all. He said, I'm not going to send them away hungry, lest they faint in the way. Matthew 15:30-32. He took the 7 loaves and the little fish, and he fed 4,000 men plus women and children. Maybe 12,000, 15,000, 20,000 people, because he loved them and he took care of them. People came to him for healing. And the Bible tells us over and over that he healed them all. Because his heart was touched by their sorrows and their sadness. His heart ached for them. And his heart aches for me and you. He does. He is touched with what you're going through. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And I wonder if there aren't times that what you're going through, the trial, the discouragement, the depression, the pain, that doesn't cause our Savior to shed tears over what you're going through. He's that compassionate. We can't even take care of ourselves. How do we think we're going to help others? Or, you know, we need the Lord, don't we? People need the Lord, as we sing. And we go through troubles, and we worry about it, and we fuss and complain. I don't know. I do anyway. I do way too much fussing. Way too much griping and complaining. And then I tell my wife about it. You know what she does? She looks me in the eye and she says, Well, God must not like you. And I look at her and I just hang my head and I walk away. You talk about rebuke. God rebuked me there. But that's right. That's how I'm thinking. I think, God, you don't like me, do you? That's how we act. And I go, ouch. Because I know he loves me. And sometimes I know he loves me, but sometimes I think maybe he doesn't like me. wrong. He likes me, he likes you, and he will always care for your every single need, and he will bless you with every heavenly blessing that you can handle and more. For the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory. And Jim Berg is the one that says in his series on quieting a noisy soul, there is no such world as a world that we live in where God does not meet our genuine need. We're living in a fantasy world if we think we live in a world that God doesn't meet our genuine need. In other words, he always, always meets our real needs. Always. He never will not meet that need. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. God doesn't condemn you. God's not mad at you. He loves you. He's on your side. He likes you more than anyone else in the world or even your family. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. He that delivered up his son for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Finally, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5:7. We'll close with this. Casting all your care upon him. Right? Is that what it says? Where am I at? I'm not there yet. I'm trying to memorize where 1 Peter's at. I preached through it once. I still don't know. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Two main points to that verse. He cares for you. You cast your care upon him. He cares for you. You cast it on him. He took our burden of sin upon himself. And he did away with all of it by his atonement. And I can lay all my trials and troubles and worries and fears on him because he cares for me and he cares about me. And if he took my sins and bore that burden, surely he can take care of our petty little problems. Because all our problems are petty and little in light of eternity. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, Paul writes 2 Corinthians 4, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He cares. Yes, 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 he cares. He feeds the birds. He gives the lilies of the field their beauty. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Matthew 6:30. And then finally he says in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's God is pleased to give you the kingdom. So don't fear. Don't worry. Don't get discouraged. He cares. He really, really likes you and he cares. Do you know him? Do you know this Savior who died for you, who gave his blood for you? That's how much he cared for you in your sins. And if you will but give your life to him, call upon his name, he will save you. And that's caring much about you. He cared enough to die in my place for my sins. God help us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise that you will care for us. We pray your blessing upon us now. As we close, may your name be glorified, and may we respond according to your perfect will, Lord. Have your way in our hearts. We've gone our own way and not done what you want us to do so many times, and yet you are ever merciful, Lord, and you love us exceedingly abundantly, and you care for us more than what we can imagine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Bless now this time of closing. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 489.